With increasing incidents of failures, Greenpeace has also joined farmers' rights groups to demand withdrawal of permission to Monsanto. From Khed Brahma in Gujarat, India, Penu Alex, Free Speech Radio News.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez. From Pacifica Reporters Against Censorship, this is Free Speech Radio News for Monday, December 1st.
No, it's not. Okay, let's stop that right now. That was Free Speech Radio News, underwritten by the Graduate Student Organization of State University of New York at Stony Brook. This edition will be repeated tomorrow morning at 6:30. Didn't think I remembered that, did you? It's time, once again, for Off the Wall. Yes, I know. In case you're trying to figure it out, the theme is only coming through the right channel. I don't know why. I really don't know why. It had two channels when I brought it in here, and one of them disappeared somewhere. I've smacked every piece of equipment in the studio now twice, and nothing seems to have an effect. Oh well. If you can only imagine what the other half of the theme sounds like, then you can imagine as much as you want. Well, this is Off the Wall, with half the theme, but my full voice. My voice is coming through both the left and the right channel, so I guess we just can't use that CD player. Is that what I'm being told now? The CD player is crippled, is that it? Can I say that? Is that okay to say? A CD player is CD challenged. That's what it is. Well, I'm challenged, I'll say that right now. It's been one of those up and down type of weeks for me. You ever wake up one day, you know, you just expect a normal day, and you just wake up, and literally this happens right after you wake up. You realize that you've got the backache from hell. It's just for no reason at all. It's just all of a sudden, this pain just will not go away. You don't know how you got it. You don't know what you did wrong. You don't know what it is that's afflicted you. You just have this horrible backache. And for some reason that I cannot understand, and maybe somebody out there can explain this to me. All those little painkillers you take, you know, the Advil, the Tylenol, the whatever, it doesn't do any good for back pains. I don't know why that is. There's some kind of rule someplace that says this will not work for back pains. Even the pills that you take for back pains, they only work for the lower back. They don't work for the upper back. I mean, it's not fair. It's really not fair. So for the last 3 days, I've been hobbling around in a pathetic state, a really pathetic state, a state that I never would have agreed to be part of had I known what this was going to be like, you know, when I started my stay on this planet. It's gotten better. I wouldn't be here right now if it didn't get better. I'm even gesticulating a little bit, which is good, you know. It's good to be able to wave your hands in the air when you're describing things, because otherwise how are people going to know what you're talking about? But, oh boy, yesterday I could not do that. Yesterday I couldn't even turn around. Yesterday I was in an altered state of consciousness. I really was. And I gotta say, you know, the people that put up with pain on a daily basis, I have tremendous respect for people that are able to do that and still maintain some kind of composure. I'm no good with this. I'm no good with pain at all. I lash out at everybody around me and everything. And you think I'm sarcastic now? Oh boy, wait till I get, you know, one of these backaches or toothaches or whatever it is, the unbearable kind of pain that you'll just do anything to stop. You ever have a toothache? I don't know why. Why are teeth so painful? Why is that necessary? You know, the back I can see. The back is holding up your head. And it's sort of, you know, well, it's in back of you. It's the main support. It's the framework. It's the structure. But your teeth, all they do is they grind things, okay? You could put a couple of pieces of metal there with sharp edges and do just as good a job. You don't need to feel anything. If I bite into ice cream, I shouldn't have to feel that on my teeth. Why? What's the point? And don't say it's to get dentists, you know, new houses and Mercedes-Benz and things like that, because that is what it does. But that's not the point. I don't think... I think nature might have messed this one up a little bit. You know? There's just no reason for that. And for those of you who are creationists, maybe you could give me an address I could send my letter of complaint to, because I think it's, I think it's an outrage. It really is. How much time do we spend in the dentist office having our teeth drilled? You know, what's the point in that? What's the point of having fillings and crowns and root canal and things like that? I'll say this. It helped me yesterday. It helped me yesterday because I was able to use the painkillers that I had left over from a root canal a couple of years earlier. Always save your painkillers. Never throw those out. You may not need them, but somebody else might. Although, you know, to be honest, they didn't help at all. They didn't help at all. I needed something even stronger. Short of heroin, I don't know what would have helped, but I was able to get through it all somehow. I'll tell you, though, you know, if getting older means things like this happening more and more, I gotta say, it's not looking good. It's, why can't getting older be something that, you know, it just keeps getting better and better and better until you go out in this blaze of joy? You know, that would make aging a lot more fun. Instead, you get these, you know, commercials on TV about your golden years and planning for your funeral and things like that. You know, it sort of takes all the enthusiasm out of anything that might lie ahead. I don't know, maybe we can, you know, grow old together and make it all fun and worthwhile. But I gotta tell you, I've had backaches before, so I don't think it's necessarily something that's getting worse. But the one I had yesterday was probably worse than any of the ones I've had before, and I just hope that's not a sign of things to come. I don't know what I would have done if yesterday had been today. They would have had to have brought me in on, like, a wooden cot or something and move the microphone so that I was speaking up into the air. And, I don't know how I would have read things. I guess I would have held them up to the light. I guess, you know, it could work. But, you know, on a weekly basis, that could get to be... it could be a bit much for the people that have to carry you in every week and carry you out. But I guess you have to think of the future. So, yeah, that's what I was going through in the last couple of days. And still going through to a degree. It still hurts. If I can't whip around, you know, and confront somebody, you know, if I get jumped or something, which, you know, still happens occasionally, you want to be able to whip around and confront people when the time calls for it. But let's hope by the end of the week this will be gone. But really, hats off to those of you who endure pain better than me. I will never understand childbirth. I mean, you know, I've got the concept down. I will not understand how people can endure it. I mean, when you think of what they're doing, when you think of, you know, I mean, as a baby going through little tiny, I could not conceive of no pun intended, of doing this and looking forward to it. You know, I guess males, they make up for it because males are the ones that get sent off to the front lines and die in wars and get horribly, you know, maimed and tortured and things like that. But, you know, we don't look forward to it. We don't have a calendar saying, oh, you know, hey, Jerry, only a couple of weeks till you get your legs blown off. Yeah, any day now. Any day now. And, you know, being on the front lines is something that we're looking to share with the opposite sex as well. But no matter what, unless it's some scientific breakthrough that I'm sure not aware of, males will never be able to experience the joy of childbirth, nor understand it. So I guess that's just one of those things I'll never understand and will never need to. Okay, what's going on in the world? Well, the world's not much better off than my back, I'll say that. Have you been following the story of the Cincinnati guy? This is an interesting story for a lot of reasons. And by the way, we will try to take phone calls tonight. I know I say that every week, and we always run out of time. What we're going to do this week is kind of accelerate things. We're going to Estonia. We're going to do the slideshow from Estonia and hopefully wail through that really quickly. Read some stories. Pay our Cheech and Chong tribute, maybe ask a corporate question or two. But let's talk about this first. Our phone number, by the way, 631-632-WUSB. And we'll try to take phone calls maybe the last 15 minutes of the show, 10 minutes. So if you're out there and you want to call in about that time, even if you're listening online and you're subject to the 1.5-minute delay, just call in. We'll see the phone lines ringing, and that will be the cue to shut up and take some phone calls. All right. So you have this guy in Cincinnati. Did you see? Everyone saw this, right? This is on the news everywhere. Big 350-pound guy, right? And he's outside White Castle, which right away, you know, there's all kinds of comments you can make about that. I mean, it's the last place you should be, okay, if you're overweight and, well, regardless. Doesn't matter anyway because the guy isn't even alive anymore. But what happened was the video from the police car, which arrived on the scene, shows six cops clubbing him pretty intensely. And, you saw before that the guy lunged at the cops and, you know, got off a pretty good shot to at least one of them. Not shot as in gun, you know, shot as in clocking over the head with your fist. But here's the thing. The guy was supposedly passed out in the parking lot of this White Castle. And the paramedics were called. And the paramedics were the ones who called the cops because the guy got belligerent and was causing problems of various sorts. And then the cops showed up, and you see what happened on the video. You see the guy lunging at the cop, and then the cops pretty much surrounding him and clubbing him. And he even got up a couple of times. And, you know, he looked like he was in tremendous distress the whole time. Now, I was watching the video. They don't show you the whole video. I don't know why. There's a couple of problems. I mean, yeah, obviously, the guy attacked the cops. The cops were trying to subdue him. They didn't shoot him, but they hit him with those nightsticks. I don't know if you've ever been hit with a nightstick, you know, head on. Not being whacked across the head. We've all had that happen. No, I mean, sort of like being stabbed with a nightstick. That can't be good. And to be stabbed with six nightsticks at once, that really can't be good. That's what was going on. But regardless, we don't see the first minute or 2 minutes of the videotape. Now, I know that has to exist because the car was already parked and the guy was already flailing around when the video starts. What do you think happened? You think the cop said, "Oh, everybody, stay there. Wait, I got to start the recorder. I'll be right back." You know, I don't think it works that way. So why aren't we seeing how this thing began? All right, that's my big question right there. Whoever is not showing us that has some answering to do. Okay? Now, if you look at the videotape carefully, meaning looking at the parts that they're showing us, you'll see a time code on the videotape, and you'll see it's, I believe it's starting at about 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock p.m., I believe, is when it starts. And then they cut to 6:06, and you see somebody performing CPR. 6 minutes! Now, they say this guy had an enlarged heart. They say he had various drugs in him. The point is, 6 minutes. I was talking about my back for 6 minutes. In that entire period of time, that's when the cops arrive until you're dead. Now, the cops did not beat this guy to death, I don't think. It didn't look like those were fatal blows that they were striking. So that means this guy was pretty much on his deathbed at that moment, which could explain why he was acting so crazy and agitated. right? I mean, you know, think about the last 6 minutes of your life, the final 6 minutes of your life. It's probably not going to be the calmest moments. I mean, maybe it will be. Maybe you'll just, you know, die in your sleep or something like that. Okay, fine. It's probably the best way to go. But a lot of people, when they reach the end of their lives, it's kind of a climactic experience. And maybe you're panicking. Maybe your heart is racing. Maybe, you know, you feel like your head's going to explode. And the last thing you need are a bunch of cops yelling at you, commanding you to do various things that maybe you can't even do at that moment. Did they ever even think about that? Oh, yeah, the guy hit a cop. Okay, you know, it was wrong. It's probably wrong to take drugs, too. You know what? It was really wrong to go to White Castle when you're 350 pounds. Regardless, it's like what we were talking about a few weeks ago with the guy who was shot for no apparent reason other than the fact that he was running away. There are ways of dealing with these situations that don't involve the use of massive amounts of force. What would have been so terrible if these guys had simply waited in their cars until this guy had either calmed himself down or trusted somebody enough to have them approach him and see what the problem was? But instead, it's, you know, they surround you, they yell at you, they you know, if you don't pass the test, you get attacked. And in this particular case, this guy died because of not getting treatment. Not getting the treatment he needed in those vital minutes. And probably, you know, being beaten by six cops at once didn't help somebody who was obviously undergoing a traumatic experience. Probably his own fault, the fact that he was going through this traumatic experience. I mean, this is not the picture of health here. This is not somebody who was taking care of themselves very well, apparently. Those are the people you need to protect the most, though, especially if you're a cop. So, I don't know. I'd like to know what people think about that. You know, it's, they didn't beat him to death, but they sure as hell didn't help either, and they should know better. And Cincinnati, of all places, Cincinnati with one of the worst records as far as, you know, racial harmony and police and things like that. This is the last thing that's needed there. Maybe it'll wake some people up. And it's not a question of, well, are they right or are they wrong? It's a question of how can this have been handled better so this wouldn't have occurred and so that doesn't occur in the future. And this is something that, you know, no matter where you are, you don't have to be in Cincinnati, anywhere, you can learn from something like that. So, we'll be seeing all kinds of reports about that, but it's certainly going to turn into a racial issue, which it really doesn't need to do, but that's what the media likes, so that's what's going to happen. All right, what else is going on? Thanksgiving, yeah. Hey, do you like the Bush stunt there? Yeah, Bush went all the way over to Baghdad, to Baghdad Airport anyway, and hung out with the troops. And, you know, that was pretty good. Of course, the bad news was that he came back. I thought that it was nasty. That was nasty, but I can't resist. Just can't resist. So he went over to Baghdad and he hung out with some people who were by the airport, and, you know, it was probably the smartest thing he's ever done, I'll say that. You know, it was the smartest thing politically that the guy could have done. You're going to see this in all the campaign ads next year, no question about it. But come on already. You know, as far as the gesture goes, yeah, it's great. It's great to show support to those poor guys who are stuck over there. And they really are stuck over there. Whether they're killing or being killed, it's a horrible thing to be in. And anybody who thinks otherwise is sick in the head or something. But it's the equivalent of setting your house on fire and then bringing a box of cookies to the fireman the next day. You know? Yeah, okay, that's a nice thing to do, but you know, you still kind of mess things up big time. And you should be held accountable for it. You know, over 400 of our own people dead as a result of this. God knows how many Iraqis. And what have we gained? Nothing. Just more paranoia. You know, we could have provided that ourselves. And that's only Iraq. Not even counting Afghanistan. Nobody knows what's going on over there anymore. So, the situation drags on. The war has no end in sight, even though they tell you the war's over. The war is not over. When people are getting blown up constantly and there are firefights in the streets and horrible things like that, it's got a long way to go. So next year is the showdown. And I'm of the opinion, and someone tell me if I'm wrong here, I'm of the opinion that unlike the year 2000, the year 2004 is not going to be about voting for the person that you believe is the best candidate, even though they have no chance in hell of winning. I think the goal in 2004 is to get rid of this maniac. Maybe maniac is giving him too much credit, because maniacs, you know, they sit around, they cackle, and they plan and plot and things like that. And this guy's probably just watching cartoons and doing what he thinks will get him on the cover of Time magazine. But honestly, I think in 2004, that is what people have to unite on. And unfortunately, the left, and I guess you include the Democrats on that, but it's really kind of a farce to call them left. But the left in general in this country has a history of tearing itself apart. You know, they don't even need the right to tear them apart, because they can tear themselves apart. No matter what happens down the road, there will be so much infighting and conflict that even if, you know, 10% of the people voted for Bush, there still wouldn't be agreement on the left as to what to do, and they'd probably wind up losing anyway, despite themselves. That has to stop. That has to end next year. Or, you know, basically 4 more years of this. How bad can it possibly get? You know, I'm hoping that another year of this, 1 more year of this, is going to get so bad that people will, you know, in droves realize that, yeah, we got to get this guy out of here. I don't wish for misfortune, but in this particular case, it might serve to emphasize the point. But 4 more years after that, I mean, that's like a mandate. That's saying, you know, you did the right thing. We support all of this nonsense. And after that, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult to, you know, to win back any respect or freedom or anything else. So that's what I believe is going to be the goal in 2004. And I'd like to know what people's opinions on that is. You know, if you want to call us later and tell us your opinion, fine. Or if you want to write to us, email otw@2600.com. Here's a bit of news. A Democratic investment group planning to start a liberal radio network to counterbalance conservative radio hosts like Rush Limbaugh says it is close to buying radio stations in 5 major cities. And New York is one of them. New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Boston. Yeah, they said they are acquiring stations in those markets. I'd like to guess what stations those might be. I sure hope BAI isn't one of them. They say they would buy stations in other markets in the near future. Don't get me wrong. I think we should have lots of liberal media. It would be a nice thing to have, despite what people who seem to think that it already exists. Listen to this guy. This is what Rush Limbaugh says as far as liberals. He says, please, on TV, you own C-SPAN. First of all, how can C-SPAN be categorized as liberal? They're neutral. They show what happens. They don't take a side. That's what's great about them. Anyway, you're on C-SPAN, PBS, C-SPAN 2. Why wouldn't he say C-SPAN 2 after he says C-SPAN? He threw PBS in the middle. I don't know. PBS is a joke. Don't even get me started on PBS. That Petroleum Broadcasting Service. Yeah. CNN. Oh, yeah. ABC, CNN, FN. Are we going to include all the CNN affiliates there? CNN International, all the other things? CBS, MSNBC, CBS. How is CBS liberal? Dan Rather is liberal? Let's see, CNN headline news. Yeah, he is going to include all the CNNs. NBC, CNBC, Bloomberg. How in God's name is Bloomberg liberal? It's a business channel. All they do is show people making money. That's liberal? Lifetime, Oxygen, etc. Simply for giving the conservative point of view equal time, you call Fox conservative. Okay, well, you know, how do you argue with that? You just don't. You can't. There's a point where logic just goes out the window. But regardless, yeah, it would be nice to have a liberal radio network. It's great to have conservative radio networks. I don't mind having them. They make driving go so much faster when you're driving cross country. You know, when you get really angry, you just forget what you're doing. And, you know, before you know it, 4 hours have gone by. Your vocal cords are a little shot from yelling at the radio, but time's gone by, and you've learned a lot. You've learned a lot about just how issues can be distorted and twisted. But it would be nice to see the other side of that. And there is another. There are many other sides. So I wonder if this can be done without it tearing itself to pieces. I don't know why that is. I guess because conservatives have a very simple point of view, my way or the highway, whereas liberals are always being tolerant of other views. And I don't know how that leads to all the infighting and destroying and things like that. But it seems that as soon as you get left of center, that seems to happen. And the further left you get, you know, you get into socialist and communist groups, it really takes off. You know, they really are at each other's throats then. I don't know why that is. Just something to do with the political ideology. Okay, what else do we have here? Well, speaking of getting old and pain and things like that, this is kind of, I know it's a kind of a sick story, but it's also kind of an uplifting story, because whenever I see old people acting like idiots and, you know, being crazy like young people, it sort of gives you hope that, well, you know, maybe getting old is, certain people can handle it differently than others. A man suffering from dementia shot and killed his wife and another man before putting the gun to his head and pulling the trigger at a care center where they all lived. That's in Portland, Oregon. Authorities said there was a history of problems between the man they said was the shooter, 86-year-old Frank Kuykendall, and the other man, 80-year-old Joe Brescia. Yeah. 86 and 80. They had a long-standing dispute. But it's been really long-standing. And dementia. Add dementia into that. Boy, you had like a regular Twin Peaks going on here, and it's in the Pacific Northwest on top of everything else. Sergeant Scott McKee of the Eugene Police Department said nothing would tele... There was nothing that would telegraph that this was coming? Who talks like that? There was nothing that would telegraph that this was coming. Boy, they are weird over there, aren't they? Anyway, the three were... This is great. The three were residents of the Memory Care Unit at the Alpine Court Assisted Living Center in Eugene, and the two victims also suffered from dementia. Boy, to be a fly on the wall there, you know, the conversations that must have been going on before, after, during. Investigators were trying to determine how Kuykendall got a gun. That's a good thing to try and determine. A woman who answered the phone at the center refused comment for a very good reason. Investigators ruled the deaths a double murder and a suicide. We're pretty comfortable those were the circumstances, according to that same sergeant. Wow, 86, 80. And the other victim was 86 as well. And here you go, out of Florida, in case you want to see the other end of the spectrum. A mob of shoppers rushing for a sale on DVD players trampled the first woman in line and knocked her unconscious as they scrambled for the shelves at a Walmart supercenter. I feel bad for people being knocked unconscious, but seriously, this is insane. Patricia Van Lester had her eye on a $29 DVD player. but when the siren blared at 6... Sirens? You have sirens blaring at 6 a.m.? Maybe that's why people go trampling into Walmart when you have a siren going off. Good God. Anyway, that happened on Friday, right after Thanksgiving. The 41-year-old was knocked to the ground by the frenzy of shoppers behind her. She got pushed down. They walked over her like a herd of elephants, said Van Lester's sister, Linda Elsie. I told them, "Stop stepping on my sister. She's on the ground." Elsie said some shoppers tried to help Van Lester, and one employee helped Elsie reach her sister, but most people just continued their rush for deals. Well, you know, shopping deals are up this year. The economy is coming back. Would you want to stop that? Of course not. It's worth the life of at least one person to get the economy back. Anyway, the sister, being a sore loser there, continued to say all they cared about was a stupid DVD player. Paramedics called to the store, found Van Lester unconscious on top of a DVD player, so I don't know who cared about it more. Surrounded by shoppers seemingly oblivious to her, she was flown to Halifax Medical Center in Daytona Beach, where doctors told the family Van Lester had a seizure after she was knocked down and would likely remain hospitalized through the weekend when the sale would end. "She's all black and blue," Elsie said. "She doesn't remember anything. She still can't believe it all happened." Well, I'm with her there. Elsie said Walmart officials called later Friday to ask about her sister. The store apologized and offered to put a DVD player on hold for her. You think she's going to have to pay the $29? It's a pretty good deal, $29 for a DVD player. I don't know if I'd give up my life for it. Anyway, Walmart store spokeswoman Karen Burke said she had never heard of such a melee during a sale. "We are very disappointed this happened. We want her to come back as a shopper." Oh, God. Only in America, right? Okay, well, let's see. We don't want to run out of time here, so let's do our Cheech and Chong tribute. This good news. The good news is that we've received the shipment of new Cheech and Chong records. Not new released, but new in the fact that I didn't have them before. And this one is basically... doesn't have a title? Does this not have a title, really? Is this called Cheech and Chong? It was my impression this came out after the other ones, though. The year on this is 1978, so that would be after the ones we were listening to previously, which I believe were 1973. Okay, well, it just says Cheech and Chong on the CD here. We're going to hear probably one of the most requested Cheech and Chong pieces. And why are we doing this? We're doing this because Tommy Chong is still, to the last best of my knowledge, in prison because he sold bongs on the internet and was sentenced because he made fun of authority figures and glorified drug use. And we would play a Cheech and Chong piece every week until he is out. And many of us have vowed to smoke up as a result of this, too, when we had ordinarily agreed not to. But I won't get into that now. So this is one of the most requested pieces. It's rather short. So we'll be back right after this is over.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave. Open up, man. I got the stuff.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave, man. Open up. I got the stuff.
Who?
It's Dave, man. Open up. I think the cops saw me come in here.
Who is it?
It's Dave, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me.
Who?
Dave, man, open up.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave, come on, man, open up. I think the cops
saw me.
Dave's
not here.
No, man, I'm Dave, man. Hey, come on, man.
Who is it?
It's Dave, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with
Who?
Me. Dave, man, open up.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave.
Dave's not here.
No, man, I am Dave, man. Will you? Come on. Open up the door, will you? I got the stuff with me. I think the cops saw
me.
Who
is it?
Oh, what the hell is it? Come, man, open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the goddamn
Dave?
Door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh.
I don't know why that's so funny. I really don't know why that's so funny, but it is. There's no question about it. It's funny as hell. And more people wanted to hear... it's just entitled Dave. It's not entitled Dave's Not Here. A bunch of you got that wrong, but... yeah, Dave. That's what it is. From the Cheech and Chong record from 1978. And we have all kinds of material that we're going to be getting to in weeks ahead. Unless it gets released, and then we're all out of luck. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think a message must be sent. And... well, I don't think a message must be sent, but, you know, they do. They think that, and they're going to continue imprisoning people for the wrong reasons. All right, we have this week's slideshow, which takes us to Estonia, because last week we were in Latvia. And, in fact, I have a note on last week. I promised to look this up, and I did. We were talking about that statue, you know, the... the statue at of the woman holding the three stars up in the air, and that that woman is basically known as Milda. It's the Freedom Monument. I don't have the exact picture number, but if you look at last week's show on the internet, and you look where the pictures are, you'll see that we focused on a statue where this woman is standing on top of a pedestal holding three stars. She stands proudly in the city center, raising her arms skyward as three gold stars seem to levitate above her fingertips. It was dedicated in 1935 during Latvia's brief period of independence. Now, this is what I was mentioning last week, how the Soviets defined those three stars. Basically, the only reason that statue survived the Soviet occupation was because they basically defined it as a Soviet symbol. They said that those three stars represented Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, all three being occupied by the Soviets until 1991. Basically, Mighty Milda, according to this, depicts Liberty raising up the three main regions of Latvia, which is Vidzem, Latgal, and Kurzem. But as I mentioned, the Soviets claimed it represented Mother Russia supporting the three Baltic states. So that's why, that's what it means, that's what it's called. And the two honor guards protect Milda daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., changing of the guards on the hour, unprotected overnight. All right, so let's get to Estonia. And what's the sound of the changing of the slides? Oh, I like that, actually. Okay, that's kind of nice. Might get on our nerves after a few, but let's give it a shot. And our phone number is 631-632-WUSB. If we have phone calls by the time we finish this, we'll go to them. Yes, we will. And for those of you who are new to this, simply go to www.2600.com/offthewall. You'll see the link to the pictures for this week. If you're listening online after the show has been on the air, well, just look for the link next to where you click to listen. And if you're driving in your car, just close your eyes. Just imagine in your head as you're driving with your eyes open that you're looking at the pictures that I'll try to describe as best I can. All right. So we're on picture number one here in Tallinn, Estonia. As you can see, this is the old part of town, and it's very picturesque, just like the old part of town of Vilnius and Riga in Lithuania and Latvia. All three of these republics have incredible architecture, cobblestone streets everywhere, and just a really nice laid-back approach to life, which I think is very attractive and something that I think a lot of people should check out in the Baltic republics. Just go to these places and explore. And as you can see, the streets are nice and narrow. There's little cafes and flowers everywhere, and I really like the architecture. It's got that distinct European flair to it. One thing, now that is kind of annoying. One thing that they're very big on in the Baltics is amber. You see in this window, there's a little neon sign for amber. It's kind of like, you know, it's gold or silver, but there it's amber. I didn't get any amber. I mean, to me, amber is just the color, but they're very big on amber trinkets and various things like that. You see it being sold everywhere. And here's another look at cobblestone streets, kind of off a square. You see a lot of tourists milling around, and you certainly do have a lot of tourists in all of these cities who are taking in all the sights and walking down the streets. And you see to the left there, three little payphones. Yeah, we'll be taking a closer look at that in just a little bit, of course. And here you get a look at how big the squares are. In many of these cities, you have very large squares where all kinds of things can happen as far as festivals and celebrations, or people can just have a huge expanse to walk across. And you see in the distance one of those huge church towers, which, of course, pervade everywhere. And here you see a wall, I believe a castle wall. You could walk up this really big hill and get a good view of the entire city. And, of course, I did that, and I did get a good view, and I'll be sharing that in just a moment. But first, let's take a look at these payphones. They seem to come in groups of three. They're blue, and they've got that, you know, nice, colorful, and sturdy look to them that you see in many European countries. And in the back, you can see a castle. It's kind of cool. Castle on the hill, payphones in the front. And as we look closer, you see that there's the usual instructions, dialing instructions, on top of the phone. The phone looks like it's gotten worn away a little bit. See those white splotches? Yeah, it looks kind of like the paint's wearing off or something. And you know, as we look closer, I think those are those fingers? Yeah, I don't think it got worn away at all. I think that's actually a diagram on the phone. So looks can be deceiving. But these phones, they take smart cards, and I don't think this one takes coins. But people tend to use them a lot more over there than here. Even though a lot of people have cell phones, a lot of people still use pay phones. Oh, yes, this is a great sign. I know what it means. I'm not sure what NB exclamation point means. For those of you who can't see this, what you have is this big lettering to the left that just has NB exclamation point. And then to the right, you have a picture of someone running, snatching someone's purse. I guess this guy snatched a woman's purse and is running away. And it's one of those typical little stick figure things that you see, you know, crossing the road. You know, those characters who have no necks. Why don't they have necks? Does anybody understand that? You know what I'm talking about, the pedestrian crossing guy? The head is always floating above the body. There's never... couldn't you just paint a neck? They never have necks. Anyway, so they don't have necks over there either, and this is apparently a warning to watch your purse. This was near the train station, so I guess there were a lot of purse snatchings in the area. Although I didn't see any sign of crime whatsoever. And here you see an actual train. As you know, I like taking pictures of trains. It's a good thing to do, except in this country you can get in trouble for it now. And this is a local train, one of the blue and white ones. And it's parked at the station, which doesn't have a lot of activity. It really doesn't. Not as much as Western European countries. I find that to be true of just about all the Baltics. The train service leaves something to be desired. And as you can see, the train is kind of old. Old but sturdy, sort of like the phones. But not particularly crowded. And as you can see, these trains just, they're all over the place. I think that's an engine coming up to the back of the train in the distance. That's about to latch onto it and pull it someplace. And these are international trains, which were on the other side of the station. I think they were going to, they had to be going to either Russia or Latvia. Those are the only two places that Estonia connects to. So they don't go very often either. And they weren't very crowded, and they look pretty old as well. You know, if the Baltic Republics had a better train network linking them all together, I think it would be a lot more popular as far as travel destinations. Because what I had to do was I had to go to one country, take a bus to another, and, you know, I hate buses. I really hate buses. But it was the only way to get around without having to travel all night long and take a much longer time and go out of my way. They weren't really direct routes, unfortunately. And finally, our final picture of trains is a diesel locomotive, which looks like it could be here in the United States, but it has Estonian writing on it. Now we're on top of the aforementioned hill, taking pictures of the various church towers and castle towers and things like that. Look how picturesque it all looks. Medieval, all that kind of thing. And you see in the distance, you can see the water. That's right, the water is right there. Tallinn is a harbor. As are many of these cities. And here, if you look carefully, you can actually see a boat, one that might make the sound that we just heard, over in the harbor, as well as many of the old-fashioned architecture there. Okay, now here's the fun part. I was on top of this hill. To call it a hill, I guess, is kind of not giving it justice, because it really was quite a climb. But there's a whole little town up there as well. And there's one particular area where there's all this graffiti on the walls. A lot of graffiti. So I just sort of snapped away with this in mind, actually. I was thinking back then, you know, wouldn't it be cool if I could show this graffiti on the radio and people could look at it, who might understand these languages, and maybe write in and tell us just what in God's name they're saying. We're up to picture number 21, by the way, in case you got lost with all those beeps. And that's our final piece of graffiti. You can see something involving the CCCP, Soviet Union. There must be all kinds of good political things going on there, and I'd like to know what's being said, if anybody knows Estonian, or if there's another language there that's being represented that I wasn't aware of. write in and tell us what's being said. We had a very good response to the last piece of graffiti in Kaliningrad that turned out to be quite political in nature. And here's one more picture of the city from on top of the hill. The difference here is that you can see an actual city in the distance with you know, big buildings, modern skyscrapers and things like that. So Tallinn was the biggest of the three Baltic Republic cities that I visited. In fact, things kept getting bigger from a certain point. I started in Vilnius, then Latvia's Riga, then Tallinn, then I was over to Helsinki, then St. Petersburg, and then Moscow, and every single one of those cities just kept getting bigger and bigger. So, yeah, Tallinn was fairly large in size. And this is what people look like as they're taking pictures over the side of the hill. Just figured I might want to show that as well. A lot of old stone architecture and merging with all kinds of other types of building materials. I have no idea what you call this kind of architecture, but it certainly was an interesting looking house, and I decided to preserve it for posterity. And here you have a statue, which... actually, can I read that? What's is there a year on there? Yes, there is. 1985. You know, I don't know what happened in 1985. I don't know what this statue represents, to be honest. I just took a picture of it because it looks kind of cool. It looks like a mother with at least one child clutching her, and someone else looks like they're mortally wounded next to her. And she's just waving her hand in the air with a kind of gesture like, get the hell away from me. I don't know if that's what it was supposed to be, but that's how it looked to me, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Here's a picture of the TV tower. Always when you shoot TV towers, make sure the sun is behind it so that you get that shadowy effect, and you have no idea what it is that it actually is. But trust me, it is a TV tower. Here, from the top of the TV tower, you can see a tremendous amount of trees, forest all over the place. Tallinn is actually, it's got a lot of greenery surrounding it, a lot. And I'm told that the way the city is growing, vast amounts of that greenery are disappearing on a yearly basis, and it's kind of a sad thing to many of the people, especially since being part of nature is a very big part of being Estonian, and hopefully they'll keep this from destroying too much of their wildlife. But as you can see, this is right next to the TV tower, all this parkland, I guess, and there's quite a bit of parks and greenery surrounding. As are Stalinist-looking buildings, tower flats, apartments, that kind of thing in the distance. By the way, it was raining. That's what those blotches are. And you see those ugly buildings in virtually every place that used to be part of the Soviet Union. The interesting thing about this, why would I take a picture of the inside of an elevator? Well, it's just you have all these different cultures coming together. You have an Otis elevator in Estonia with a British telecom phone. And... I'm sure there's some Russian things in there as well. It's just kind of a meeting of the minds. Oh, yes, the robot. This this is a crazy-looking structure that we found outside the TV tower that it looks like a robot, doesn't it? It's got cameras all over it. One camera's pointing at the grass. I don't know what this thing was, but it's obviously a holdover from the Soviet era, and I guess it was just to watch people, but it looks really big and complex. And as you look at it, it's not in use anymore. You see all these wires hanging out of it, and it just looks really old and decrepit. And a monument to the memory of the aeronaut Charles Leroux, who perished in the Bay of Tallinn on the 12th of September, 1889. And, you know, I had to ask a few people what in tarnation an aeronaut was, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's a balloonist. So this person was a balloonist who perished in the Bay of Tallinn back in the 1800s. And here's one of those Soviet-era monuments. This was to World War II, and we spent some time exploring around there. So some monuments of various sorts to the various people. And one thing that I was told that would never be tolerated in Estonia is any kind of monument to German soldiers, because, you know, they were the Nazis after all. But guess what? We actually found some German soldiers. These guys, the guys on the ground, were German soldiers. That's one of us asking them just who they are. And they were building a monument to German soldiers, if you can believe that, right there in Tallinn. And I don't think people in Tallinn knew this. and we were scared that we might not be able to make it back to town to tell them. Oh, yes, the picture that got me in a lot of trouble. We were walking down this little side street, okay, and I just was snapping pictures of everything, and I snapped a picture of this because I saw the eagle. And if you look a little closer, yes, it's the Embassy of the United States of America. And wouldn't you know it, some guy comes out of the trees and demands that I untake that picture. That's a digital camera. I don't quite know how that would work. But the guy calls the cops on us. The only time I've been in Europe for 6 weeks, in some countries that we're supposed to be scared of, you know, that were military dictatorships and communists and all that kind of thing, I hadn't had the cops called on me once. The only time I ever had the cops called on me was when I take a picture of something American. Good God. Well, we got away before the cops arrived, but I just could not believe it, that this kind of audacity exists even in foreign countries on our behalf. What happened? We lost our theme there. Do we have it back? Okay. This is actually... The reason I took this picture was because in the distance... you can see this little pink house. That's the house where the president of Estonia is. And there's virtually no protection against lunatics, probably because there aren't that many lunatics. But it was just a lot more open than you might see at the White House. And here we have the, what I thought was pretty sad, the Coca-Cola Plaza. That's right, a mall named after Coca-Cola. And guess what? They don't sell in there. They don't sell Pepsi products of any sort. We tried. And we eventually just bought a Pepsi and drank it outside as a show of rebellion. How pathetic is that? Drinking Pepsi is rebelling. And yes, Western ads are everywhere. Sony, Nescafe, that kind of a thing. And our final picture is an advertisement for people to vote yes, or JA, J-A-H, for EU representation. The election was coming up a couple of weeks after I left, and that was one of many posters. And eventually the people did vote yes. That's it from Estonia. Next week, if we're lucky, we'll do Finland. And let's see. Oh, we have some phone calls. Shall we take a phone call or two? All right. If we can get this annoying sound to stop. I don't know if we can, but we'll try. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I like, you know, you're talking about the cops bringing you... Hold on a minute.
You know, okay. This can't be. This
you know,
can't
you know
be
the. Take pictures of different things.
Is this the same person that calls the other radio show?
Did you get my pictures of the bridges? You're talking about taking pictures.
Oh, Rebel. Yes. You know, Rebel, you sent us something like 20 pictures, each of which was several megs in size.
True.
Of bridges. You know how annoying that was.
Well, it's because I didn't think that it would go through. It kept on coming back. I didn't know whether you'd gotten it or not.
Well, I didn't actually see them myself. I have them on my hard drive. I just haven't had the chance to actually look at them. But tell us, there were pictures of bridges that you're not allowed to take pictures of anymore in New York?
Give people a brief description of, in New York City area, they're only the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority pictures, bridges, not allowed to take pictures of.
Really? And which bridges are those?
They're the Triborough, the Brocksneck, and Midtown Tunnel, and things like that. Not things like the Queensborough or Brooklyn bridges. Those are not TBTA bridges.
Did you get a picture? Boy, that sounds annoying. Did you get a picture of the sign that says you're not allowed to take
pictures?
Yeah,
I got a good picture of the sign that says don't take the pictures.
Okay.
That's you, too.
And you get a good picture of the strategic size of the bridges, like the undercarriage and, you know, the support structure?
Really, I mean, I did get a picture of the under, you know, I'd have to really go in a boat under the water to do that, but I mean,
Well, you know, we expect you to take some risk here. I mean, that's what it's all about. If you believe in a cause, you should, you know, be willing to risk your life and limb.
Well, I mean, I wanted to just make the point about, you know, taking pictures as a sign that says don't take pictures. I mean, it's a general sign.
Did anybody stop you or question you?
Oh, nobody.
Really?
I mean, obviously, I was on a bus that
you were on a bus. Okay.
I
didn't know you were on a bus. I thought you did this on your own.
No, I did it on my own. I did it from, I just stood in the park in the Whitestone, Queens, and took the pictures.
Uh-huh.
He was there. You know, and then I took a picture of the sign, because the sign, I could zoom in on the sign, because I wasn't on the road, but I was on a place where I could stand and zoom it in.
Right. Well, that's good, I guess, and it's good you didn't get hurt too badly. I'll try to look at those pictures, but if anybody out there would like to send us pictures of something forbidden, such as a bridge, the Verrazano Bridge, the Triborough Bridge, what others?
Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority bridges like the Verrazano Bridge, Triborough Bridge, Throgs Neck Bridge, Whitestone Bridge, or, okay. Well, I can't take pictures in a tunnel, but those...
Well, you could, I guess. But the thing is, there's a big sign. I think the big sign is on the Verrazano Bridge, or are there signs on all of these now?
Well, the sign was on the, I think, the Verrazano and the Throgs Neck and the Whitestone. Those are the ones that I saw. There's one in the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
See, here's what I wonder. If you actually take a picture of this and you put it up on a website or you print it in a book or something like that, what can they do? It's already out. You know, they can't tell people don't take more pictures because all they have to do is look at those pictures.
Yeah, but the thing is that did these bridges change in the past 2 years? Because these bridges, the pictures of these bridges and undercarriages of them, aren't they in, like, encyclopedias?
No, the only thing that changed is the signs being added to them. That's all as far as I know.
Being added to them, that's the thing. The point is that, you know, they have pictures out already, so I don't know why people wouldn't be able to take pictures of them anyway.
Well, the important thing is to not let this kind of thing stand as a rule. A lot of people are saying, well, I guess I won't take pictures now. No, you take pictures anyway, you know. I was at the opening of the PATH station a couple of Mondays ago. Everybody was taking pictures of the train station there. And, you know, people are afraid to take pictures of the train station normally. I have a story to tell about that. Maybe I'll tell that on the other show. But, you know, these kinds of things are acceptable behavior.
Near the Pentagon. The Pentagon says don't take pictures. I saw a lot of people with cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody mentioned that these new camera phones can take pictures.
That's right. And cell phones, of course, are something that can be used to infiltrate all kinds of things. Listen, Rebel, we're out of time. Sorry we have to cut you off, but we're out of time here. The Blues is up next. Thanks for calling, and we'll be back again next week with another fun-filled edition of, Off the Wall. This song is going to put me to tears because it's just such an emotional thing for me. So I'm going to sign off now. I'll see you next week. Good night.
I'm sailing away. Sailing open course for the Virgin Sea. 'Cause I've got to be free. Free to face the life that's ahead of me. Bird and the kitten, so let me be. We search for to marry on every ship, but we're a load of dread. Take care of me. Reflections in the waves spark my memory. Some happy, some sad. I think of childhood friends and the dreams we had. We lived happily forever. Tell the story good. Part of good.